Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, in today's program, you're going to be answering questions you got from various members of the audience during the Q&A sessions after some of the Scripture on Creation presentations you've done lately.
Well, that's right, Scott. Whenever possible, I like to open the floor to questions from the audience after a presentation because I think it's important that they have the opportunity to either ask a question that's on their mind that I didn't address or to clarify something I said.
Like, Dr. Scripture, in your talk, you said such and such. Where does it say that in the Bible?
Yes. You know, I love a question like that. It keeps me on my scriptural toes, so to speak.
Berean heritage.
And usually, I'm able to cite a Bible reference, but sometimes, well, a person catches something that is more what I say than what Scripture says, and it's usually due to some of my own assumptions related to previous experiences and research or what I've been taught and didn't search out myself in the Bible. And, you know, those make for really good interactions.
Dr. Scripture, have you ever gotten any hostile reactions from members of an audience during the Q&A session or even during a presentation?
You know, Scott, I've never had a person shout out some contrary statement while I was speaking, but there have been occasions where a person has gotten, well, let's say emotional during an exchange of thoughts during a Q&A time. It can be pretty uncomfortable, but the Lord has always enabled me to diffuse the situation amicably. And in those situations, one of the main concerns I have is to not let one person dominate the whole Q&A time, because, you know, there are usually others who have questions or comments too.
Okay, well, the question you want to address today, which you got from an audience member, has to do with possible contradictions in the Bible, in particular in the creation account, or accounts, plural, as some claim.
You know, that's right, Scott. And the person who asked this wasn't doing so in a challenging fashion. They were sincerely wanting to know how to respond to some comments they heard in a conversation with a person who didn't believe the Bible was God's word. And they were justifying their position by citing contradictions between statements in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2.
Thus, the claim by some people that there are two creation accounts in Genesis and they conflict.
Exactly. In fact, various scholars claim there must have been numerous creation accounts that eventually got spliced and pieced together into the stories of Genesis 1 and 2. And of course, they didn't do a very good job of comparing notes and left contradictions in them. So, confronted with these kinds of claims, how can a person who does believe the Bible is God's inspired, inerrant word respond? Well, knowing the facts concerning what the text actually says and means is the place to start as one attempts to answer such a challenge. But the way I want to start is by reading some of the claims you'll hear that say Genesis 1 and 2 contradict each other. Scott, there's a website, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, called SkepticsAnnotatedBible.com.
Wait a minute. SkepticsAnnotatedBible.com? You mean it's a version of the Bible with notes which I assume are all directed to refuting what the text is saying?
Well, I don't think it's the whole Bible with notes, but it has a search engine that you can enter questions in, and then it gives their interpretation of what the Bible says.
What could motivate someone to do that?
Well, Scott, I suppose from their perspective, they're fighting a battle for truth and wanting to enlighten everyone concerning the dangers of accepting what the Bible says. I mean, I can't speak for them, but that may be their desire. Anyway, one of the things that disturbs me about what this particular website, at least the portions of it that I've read, because I've not read the whole thing, of course, is that in the name it says skeptics. But a skeptic is someone who has doubts, which is fine, and then checks out the statements they are concerned about. But I don't see them honestly checking the things they're criticizing out. They just make claims that this or that is wrong. So frankly, they claim to be skeptics, but I would identify them as cynics.
Those are interesting descriptions. Would you say, for example, that the people who scoffed at Paul when he talked about the resurrection at the Areopagus in Athens were cynics, and those who said, "We'll hear you again concerning this," were skeptics?
Scott, that is a great illustration of the difference between cynics and skeptics. So, reading from the cynics annotated, the skeptics annotated Bible, it discusses the idea that there's a contradiction between day 3 and day 6 accounts in the first chapter of Genesis versus the second chapter of Genesis. So let me read actually from the website. It says, plants were created before humans. Okay, in the first creation account, plants were created on the third day and humans on the sixth day. Quote, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the evening and the morning were the third day." Then they move forward. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." But then they say, in the second account, plants were created after humans. Quote, "In the second account, God formed a man before any plants existed. It hadn't rained yet, and there was no man to till the ground. Sometime later, God created plants to please and feed the man." So these are two contradictory creation accounts. Okay, so that's their interpretation of this. However, what is actually going on in these two accounts is in Genesis chapter 1, we are being given a very broad, general overview of the 6 days of creation. And in Genesis 2, we are given details about the events involving the creation of the human beings, Adam and Eve. In a sense, it's like a flashback, which goes back to the most important aspect of what God did during the 7 days of creation. And this is a very common literary form in Hebrew narrative. And when we read biblical narrative, we should actually expect this as we read. And so we know Genesis 1 says God created the plants on day 3 and humans on day 6. But now let's read the supposed contradiction in Genesis 2, and it starts at verse 5. "Now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Well, the thing to understand about this description is far from these verses saying there were no plants and then God formed the man, it's saying there were no plants of the field. That's a very specific Hebrew word. And essentially, it's saying there were no crops. And the text even then explains why. There was no man to cultivate the ground.
In other words, there was no farmer yet.
Precisely. But that didn't mean there were no plants created yet. So this simply is not a contradiction. And to understand that, frankly, it just takes a little vocabulary research, which this website did not do, conveniently. Then in the Skeptics Annotated Bible, it goes on to say, the book of Genesis begins with two contradictory creation accounts, Genesis 1, 1 through 2, 3, and Genesis 2, 4 through 3, 24. Here are two of the more obvious contradictions between the two creation accounts. In the first creation story, humans are created after the other animals. Then they go ahead and quote from Genesis chapter 1, verses 25 through 27, which talks about God creating the land animals and then God creating man in his own image. Then they go on to say, then in the second story, humans were created before the animals. And then I'll read the text that they quote in Genesis chapter 2. It's Genesis 2, verses 18 and 19. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." So first, let me say, they at least are accurately quoting the King James Version, which does say, quote, "out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field," unquote. However, the way the King James Version translates the tense of the verb formed there in verse 19 is ambiguous. The verb tense can accurately be translated had formed, and in fact, that's how, for example, the NIV translates it. Scott, read Genesis 2:19 in the NIV.
Okay, quote, "Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name."
Okay, so the sequence between the animals and man, and including the birds that are created on the fifth day, is not contradicted here. It says the Lord had already formed the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, and he brought them to Adam. And we should also understand that it was just some of these creatures, the beasts of the field, for example. That's that agricultural term again. So maybe God just brought the livestock, like sheep and goats and cows.
Which didn't have names yet.
That's correct. But the point is, Adam was not naming all the animals, which actually is another objection people have. They say there wouldn't have been enough time in a day to name all the animals. Well, Adam wasn't naming all the animals. So again, understanding the vocabulary and grammar of the Hebrew language, as well as the forms of literature in the Hebrew language, clears up quite simply the confusion that can occur when we read these narratives translated into English. However, the solution is not complicated or contrived. And so, in answering that person's question, understanding these things that we've talked about today is how you can respond to a person who says these supposedly different creation accounts contradict one another, because they do not.
Now, Dr. Scripture, I think you had more to say about this whole issue of supposed contradictions in the creation account. But we're out of time today, so that will have to wait until next week.
Yes, and in fact, what I wanted to also do was talk about a person that we've mentioned several times on this program, Stephen Jay Gould, and some of the things that he says about the supposed contradictions in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. But like you say, we're going to have to wait till next week for that, Scott. So in conclusion today, reading a little bit more from Genesis chapter 2, we'll start at verse 4. It's actually the conclusion of chapter 1, if you ask me and a lot of other Hebrew scholars, but we'll start with Genesis 2:4. It says, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. Now, no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground." And that's not what I say, that's what Scripture says.